right, out on the table out front, we have the list of for Christmas cards, and so pick that list up and get the cards back, and we'll get them separated out and get a table out there to have them all put on. And so just take that after church and take care of that, for the Christmas season is right upon us, and the holidays are here before we realize it. It'll be past and be gone. And these days that are ahead, we are certainly thankful that we have a holiday that we can think about the Lord and think about the birth of our Lord. And thank God tonight that we still have the freedom, the liberty to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and have that given to us. And pray that the Lord help us to take advantage of every opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus and his not only his birth but his death and his coming again. Tonight, if you would take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58. The book of Isaiah, I'm going to read one verse here, and then we'll turn back a few pages and read a couple, three verses still in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." So the Lord was telling Isaiah to lift up his voice, to cry aloud. And the thing that he was to cry was to expose the wickedness, the transgressions of Israel, the house of Jacob, the sins that they were guilty of, that they would be recognizing the difficulty and the sin against the Lord. So he says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Now turn back to chapter number 40, and we'll read in verse number 6. We'll read verse 6, 7, and 8, Isaiah chapter 40. Still the same subject matter, is to cry aloud. He says in verse number 6 of Isaiah 40, "The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely a people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." So Isaiah is told here two times in our verses that he is to cry. One says, cry aloud, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And here he says, the voice says to cry. And then he asks the question, what shall I cry? What am I going to say? What is the message that we have? I think in chapter 58, we had the message, cry against the transgressions and the sins of the people. And he asks the question. He says the flesh is like the grass of the field. It's here today, gone tomorrow. That's reiterated in the New Testament. We're just like a vapor. We're here for a little while, and then we vanish away. And so what are we to cry? And so there's always people in society, and always has been, that would question the authority of the child of God to cry against their sin. It has always been a popular thing to say, who are you to tell me how to live? It's always been something that the sinner would say, that it's none of your business how I live. Who gives you the right to tell me? I've had that said to me, and I'm sure you've had that also if you've witnessed very many people. And in the society we live in today, it certainly is that way. Just don't bother me where I am. I don't want to be bothered. Don't even send a missionary to a field to have upheaval in their religion because they are satisfied where they are, so we ought to leave them alone. Well, that cry has always been there, but we have the message from the Lord that we're to lift up our voice like a trumpet. And of course, a trumpet sound is a very distinctive call, and many places the trumpet is used as a sounding call to others. Even in the coming of the Lord, we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And the voice that we hear says, come up hither. So the trumpet sound is an announcement sound. It's a a clarion call. It's a call for people to listen. And he tells us that we're to have our voices to lift up like a trumpet so people can hear and know the message and be able to stand in the things of the Lord and tell the people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. And I believe we could add to that tonight the country of America, their transgressions and sins. We're to tell people. And so Isaiah says, "What shall I cry?" And so tonight I want us to look at just a few things about why we should cry, why we should tell. And even though the world says we don't have the authority, I'm glad God gives us the authority. I'm glad God tells us to do that in our text. If we read the whole chapter of Isaiah 58, you'd find that God is giving him the right to lift up his voice, and we find that we have the responsibility to do that. The child of God is responsible not just for himself and his family, but we're to cry against wickedness and transgressions everywhere around the world. And Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 19 tells us that he will hold us responsible there in verse number 18, rather. Ezekiel 3:18 says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt give him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand." And so God puts us under the responsibility that we are to tell people and to warn people of an impending judgment, the doom of wickedness, and the result of dying without God. We are to tell people and to have that voice as a trumpet to let folks know the condition of their life and what they must have in order for them to have life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 19 that he will reward us. Ezekiel 3:19 says, "If thou shalt warn the wicked, and he not turn from his wickedness and from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." And so there's a warning to the wicked and a reward to those that will be willing to tell people and to show people the need of salvation. So God gives us the right. God gives us the command. The New Testament command is to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if we do that, God says he's honored to bless us. And we'll be blessed of him and be honored of the Lord. And so he gives us the right to do that. He says if we don't do it, we're going to have the problem. And he said, "I'm going to require the blood of the wicked at your hand because you wasn't faithful to tell them." And so we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ with that upon us. And then if we do that and follow his word and follow his will, he will reward us and will bless us. And so we are to cry. What are we to cry? Isaiah here in chapter 40, the question is asked, "What shall I cry?" So I want to just look at a few things as to why and maybe the what as to crying. Our world conditions tonight show us without any question that we have a message to tell them. The world as a whole is dying without God. Nation after nation does not know about the Lord. Many of them have never heard. Many folks around the world have never heard the message. And so their condition tells us that we are to cry. And we are certainly living in the last days. I don't think we have to labor that point. We're living what Paul tells us in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Paul tells us that we're living in perilous times. He says in verse number 13, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So these perilous times which we're living in, they're described there in chapter 3, verses 2 on down through verse number 7, 8. Those are the conditions of the world that are in the perilous times. And I believe we've been in perilous times for a long time. I believe we're seeing the culmination of generations without God, without the knowledge of God, without even the thought of God in their heart or in their mind. And so the only thing that's left unto them is a natural process or a natural way. And this is what is listed here in these verses. Men should be lovers of their own selves. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient, without natural affection. And you can list, the list goes on and on and on. And these are results of not having the influence of the gospel, the influence of the message of the Lord Jesus upon their life. Perilous times are upon us. They are self-reliant. There it says they are lovers of their own selves. And the next things listed there are have to do with the self, boasters and blasphemers and disobedient and without natural affection, false accusers or liars and despisers of good. All those things are a result of perilous times that we are living in. They are the end result of generation after generation that does not have the influence of the gospel, the influence of the Lord upon their life. And I believe we know that for a few generations now, God has been put on the back burner. The Bible has been done away with. The message of the Lord has been destroyed. And so when people live that way, they live without the influence of godliness. The only thing left is ungodliness. And so these perilous times tell us that we need to cry aloud. These days tell us that we need to lift up our voice like a trumpet, for people rely upon themselves. They revel in their sin. They refuse the truth. Verse number 5 says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. And so they are refusing the truth, and they turn their back upon righteous things of the Lord. What shall I cry? Why shall I cry? The condition of the world, the wickedness around us is the why. What shall I cry is the gospel. It is the story of salvation. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 25, talks about the perplexity of nations. And let's just go back there. I wasn't going to read that, but let's turn back to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter number 21 and verse around the verse number 25 in that area. 25 says, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nation with perplexity. The word perplexity means with a lot of commotion, a lot of problems, a lot of difficulty. Something that's perplexed, it's very difficult. And so the earth is distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, Luke chapter 21, these verses are talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes again. Not talking about rapture here. He's talking about when he comes and the earth is going to be in such turmoil and such difficulty that they're going to be confused in every aspect of life. And it gives you the results of that. Hearts failing. Because they look after what's coming, the powers of heaven will be shaken. Fear should be gripping the earth. And all you got to do is go to Revelation and you'll find, starting with chapter number 4, 5, 6, all through there, you'll find the result of men's attitude toward God. They curse God. They won't even after the judgment of the Lord is upon, they still curse God the more. And so perplexity of nations is upon us. And we find that not only perilous times, but the world is in a upheaval. The world, and then he tells us, when you see these things begin to come to pass. Now, that verse, it may very well just be talking about the tribulation, but I believe it can also be talking where we are tonight. When you see it starting, when you see it beginning to come to pass, we to lift up our heads. And we do that as a child of God in hope and in joy, for our redemption draweth nigh. It's not my salvation of my soul, but it's the redemption of my body and the being taken from this earth unto glory. And so therefore, I am to cry because the days are shortened. The days are less than they were. So God gives us the right. The condition of the world, the condition of the last days tells us, and the nations tell us that we have a message to speak. I think there's a song in our songbook, there's a story to tell to the nations. And we have that, so we have the only story. Buddha doesn't help anybody. All the other religious leaders that's ever lived upon this earth that had a following, they've never helped anyone. But thank God now we've got a story about a man called Jesus. And he's helped everyone that's come to him. He said, I will in no wise cast anyone out. If they come in faith believing, then the Lord will receive them and will take them. So the world condition speaks of the last days, and that's why I should cry. That's why I should tell the story. Not only that, but the second thing is the weakness of the church. And I don't think we have to belabor that point either, because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is not as strong as it used to be. There's a lot of religion. There's a lot of going through the motions of being religious. But the Lord's church is sometimes very weak, and it's given to us in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2, chapter number 3. We're not going to go over there, but if you look at those seven different churches, you'll find there was churches that were cold. You'll find there were churches that were very careless, and you'll find that that last church was very calloused, rich and had need of nothing. They thought they had it all under control, but the Lord said, I look upon you. And, you know, God's look upon us is different than our look. We look in a mirror and see an image of who we are. God looks on the heart, and he knows who we are. He knows what we are, and even as either as an individual or as collectively as a church. And there are many churches that are cold, there's careless, and there's callous churches everywhere that just do not care about the souls of men. They go through a lot of religious things. They make up a lot of money to do social things, and they have their goods that they can harbor out and peddle out to others. But as far as being careful and careful for the soul of men, they are very careless in that and have no mention of the Lord. You'd be surprised how many churches will meet this coming Sunday, and you'd never, never hear a message of how to go to heaven. And if you happen to hear a message like that, it would be probably tainted with the religious world and the ideas what they have. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be baptized, you got to hold on, hold out, you got to do all the different things that the world tells us to do when the Lord says all we got to do is believe. And so the message has been overshadowed with falsehood, and so therefore that's why I should cry. That's why we need to tell, because the coldness of the world's condition and the weakness of the church is evidence that we need something from God. We need the Lord to move on our behalf. And then thirdly, I'm to cry because the wages of sin is death. Still in the book, still in the Bible, the gift of God's eternal life, but the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How has that happened? How has it been so many words and so many messages and so many Bibles around the world? How is it that people are still lost without God? How is it that they have no understanding? It's because of the fall of man. It's because they're steeped in their sins. We realize that the fall came. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. We read in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Eve was deceived. Adam intentionally took of the fruit that God told him not to. So therefore, he is the what's called the federal head of mankind. And he put every individual, the human race, against God because of rebellion against the Lord. Why am I to cry? What am I to cry? I'm to realize that man is a fallen individual, that mankind cannot lift himself up, that individuals can turn over a new leaf, but it does not help. They can try to do better, and then they go right back to what they were. How many times we've heard people say, well, I've tried, and it just doesn't work. I've tried this program. I've tried this step. I've tried all the things that society gives us, and it just doesn't help. Well, if you just trust the Lord, you don't have to try the Lord, just trust the Lord. I've heard people say, well, try God, and he'll help you. We don't need to try him, we just need to trust him. We just need to believe him, accept him. And so man has fallen into sin, and his flesh is in rebellion against God. His flesh is foreign to the holiness of the Lord. The flesh of man rebels against the Spirit of God. And you and I that are believers, we still fight that battle continually. Every day we fight the flesh and the spirit. And the spirit wants us one way, and the flesh says, I don't want that. And there's a continual battle that goes on. That's why we need to hear and we need to study. We need to have of the Word of God. And man is dying without the Lord. He's going to die without God and go to hell. What shall I cry? Cry the message, cry the story, cry the understanding of salvation, because man is sinful and cannot do it in himself. And I need to cry because God is faithful. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 25, it says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God says the soul that sinneth, what? Shall surely die. And because of the faithfulness of the Lord, I am to cry. Because every individual that dies without God, the Lord will, they will determine their destiny because of the rebellion against God. And the judge of our life, the judge of this world, he will do right. He'll judge according to righteousness. He'll judge according to the Word of God. He'll judge according to the works of men. I'm glad my works don't take me to heaven, and my works don't take me to hell. My works will be judged because of the deeds in my life, whether good or bad. But thank God, covered by the blood, takes care of all those things, and we suffer loss of rewards. But the lost man, he'll stand before God without any covering, without any blood applied, and he'll stand and he'll have to pay for his sin throughout all eternity, because it can never be paid by sinful man. It can only be paid by the sinless Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm to cry because sin brings forth death. The wages of sin is dying. The payment for the life without God is dying without the Lord, and dying and never dying. And therefore, God is faithful. He says that he will judge and he'll do right. Now, God doesn't send anyone to hell, but God will judge them because they rejected his only begotten Son. So what shall I cry? I shall cry because of the last days and men are wicked. I cry the Lord. What shall I cry because of the church? I cry still the Lord Jesus Christ. I cry because death is coming upon mankind. I cry the gospel of the Lord and tell the story of salvation, because God is faithful, and there will be a judgment day. There will be a time when they will stand before a holy and a righteous God. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that the dead, small and great, shall stand before God. Matthew tells us there will be some in that day that shall cry, Lord, did we not do marvelous things? Did we not prophesy in thy name? And the Lord said, I never knew you. It's not our works. It's not our deeds. It's not our crying. It's not our miracles. A lot of religions deal primarily in miracles. It's not our miracles that take us to heaven. It's the miracle Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the faithfulness of the Lord tells us that one day will stand. I'm glad I'll not have to stand before the white throne. I'm glad I've escaped that because of salvation. But I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll give payment for things done in my body, whether good or bad. We'll receive reward for the good things. We'll lose rewards for the unhealthy, unworthy things of which we are guilty. What shall I cry? We cry the righteousness of the Lord. We cry the gospel. We cry the message of salvation because the way of the cross leads home. We cry because there is a way that leads to everlasting life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." You go out here and start talking to people about the Lord, they think you're foolish. The preaching of the cross is to those that perish. That's that generation, that's that group that no longer even want to retain God in their knowledge. I think it's foolish. And so the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, thank God, it is the power of God. It's the power of God to give life. And so we preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I cry? I shall cry the cross that leads to heaven. One must come. Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet," he says, "they'll be white as snow." And so we are to tell people they must come. We're to invite people unto the Lord. And then an individual confess their sin. They repent of their sin, turn to the Lord, and he's faithful and honest and just, and he'll forgive us of our sins, confessing unto the Lord. And we must claim the message that what God tells us, he is true. His word is always true and righteous and holy. And claim the gospel that gives us eternity. What do I cry? That would be a message that could go around the world. What's the message? What's the cry? What's the reason? Because one of these days, when the Lord comes, he's going to take his people out, and everything that's left behind are those that should have heeded the cry of salvation. They should have taken note of the message of the Lord. I'm glad tonight the story that we've read so many times, I'm glad it's still true that Jesus is coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, one of the most familiar verses and passage of Scripture, all the way anywhere in the Scripture, and it tells us that the Lord's coming. It says, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We have no sorrow. Others have no hope. I'm glad tonight that my sorrow has been taken care of at Calvary. I still may cry tears. I may still have distress of heart, but thank God I have no sorrow in the Lord. But there are those that have no hope. So we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with those words. I'm glad tonight someone cried unto me. I'm glad somebody gave me the story. I can think of Sunday school teachers. I can think of preachers. I can think of friends, loved ones, family. I'm glad they cried the story of the Lord. They realized the condition of the world. They realized the need. They realized the desire of Christ. They realized the judgment of God. They realized the responsibility, and they were doing their best to cry aloud and spare not. They lifted up their voice like a trumpet. If you're here tonight as a Christian, somebody cried unto you. Someone gave you the message. The word cry there means to give out. So somebody told you about the Lord. Somebody gave you a track, or somebody preached a message, or you read something in the scripture. You did something that the Lord applied it to your heart. Somewhere in our life we had the cry of God. And by trusting that, we are found here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We are one of these days going to be with Him forever and forever. These are not new things. These are not things we have not heard, but it's good to refresh ourselves to realize it could be tonight. Do you know, we could hear the sound of the trumpet tonight. We could hear the message of come up hither. We can hear the voice of the archangel. And thank God then all of our sorrows will be over. All of our struggles will be ended. And everything left behind are those without God, those without Christ, those without hope, those without any way of escape, for one day they'll stand before a holy, righteous God, and they'll have to give an account, and it will not matter. It'll be too late then. I heard this week, I believe it was this past week, somebody made the statement that they light a candle and they're praying for those that have died. Too late then. We pray for folks as we live. That's part of our crying. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up the voice like a trumpet, because the world is in a terrible condition. Because the church is in a terrible condition. Because sin is a terrible condition. Because the cross leads home. Thank God tonight one day we're going, and it's because somebody cried unto us the gospel. Let's stand together tonight.